When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Date Night Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Russell, and with me is my co-host, Ashley Russell.
Hey, everyone.
This is a show where each week, Ashley and I, we talk about a new movie that's playing in theaters, and then we break it down whether we thought it was good or bad and whether or not it would make for a good date movie. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about House of Gucci, starring Lady Gaga and Adam Driver. But before we get to that, we have to tell folks about our own film. It's called Tiny Dancers. It's now streaming on Prime Video. This is a comedy we made about an exotic dancer who gets arrested for drunk driving. And for community service, she ends up training a group of kids to compete in a regional dance show. And so that's our feature film. It's called Tiny Dancers, and it's streaming right now on Prime Video.
Go watch it.
So House of Gucci.
Oy.
Oh, yeah. There is not much of a plot of this movie, so let me try and sum it up by reading the film synopsis off IMDb. When Patrizia Reggiani, an outsider from humble beginnings, marries into the Gucci family, her unbridled ambition begins to unravel their legacy and triggers a reckless spiral of betrayal, decadence, revenge, and ultimately, murder.
Da-da-da!
Makes it sound good. Makes it sound interesting, like a movie I'd want to watch. So this film, it's directed by Ridley Scott. It's actually his second movie to be released this year after The Last Duel. You and I, we saw that film. We were among the few. We didn't do an episode on it because it bombed so badly.
Yes.
But I thought that film was great. One of his stronger movies.
It was one of his stronger movies. But it was a movie about rape.
Yeah.
It's a tough movie to...
Unflinching kind of drama, medieval drama. A lot of brutality in the movie.
I mean, true story.
I thought he and the writers, which include Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, did a great job just pulling that movie off in the middle of a pandemic.
I wish it was from a female writer. And
there is a female writer. It had three writers, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and Nicole Holofcener.
Okay.
And I believe Nicole Holofcener wrote the female section of the film.
Okay.
They kind of divided up the sections.
Well, the female section was the best section.
But I think that was smart for them to get that variety of writers. I think that's why the movie really works so well. But yeah, that felt like a return to form for Ridley Scott. You know, his last movie before that was several years ago. It was called All the Money in the World. That movie is probably best remembered as a movie that recast Kevin Spacey with Christopher Plummer.
That is the only thing I remember of that movie.
It's a very forgettable movie. Lower tier Ridley Scott, unfortunately.
I just don't remember.
I don't either. Yeah. I know we saw it.
Yeah.
We definitely sat through it. But it was, kind of a rough watch, I thought, despite just the feat of pulling off that reshoot, of like swapping out an actor like a month before release date.
I know.
That's how quickly they did that. He's very pragmatic towards filmmaking and a real master. So, you know, having Ridley Scott behind the camera and the cast, headlined by Gaga and Adam Driver, Al Pacino's in this, Jeremy Irons, Salma Hayek.
Your favorite, Jared Leto?
Yeah, I was saving him for last.
Oh.
Jared Leto's in this, and he seems to be playing his character like he's auditioning for the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Kind of like Super Mario meets Borat is what he's doing here.
Oh, my God.
And we should say at the top, like, everyone's Italian accent ranges in quality. We got a real broad range of Italian accents going on.
Of course, Pacino.
This was not a great Pacino performance.
I will say he's probably the best one in this movie.
Well, I would disagree with you there, but let's just roll back to the beginning. This movie, it starts out like a love story. For the first 30 minutes or so, it's really just like a montage of Lady Gaga and Adam Driver falling in love. We get a couple sex scenes.
Good sex scenes. Like, they were delicious.
The movie starts off not bad.
Yeah.
And they get married. But after she meets Adam Driver's family, she kind of instantly becomes a supporting character. and we completely lose any real point of view in the film. Lady Gaga just fades into the background quickly, I would say. We get a lot of scenes with Al Pacino and Jared Leto.
Yeah, I would have liked more of that relationship vibe versus...
Well, getting more of her perspective would have helped. It seems like the movie should have been built around her character. Considering where we ultimately end up, it should have been built around her character and her direct point of view as she kind of infiltrates this family.
Well, that's how the trailer...
You bet.
The trailers that's are kind all of, on Gaga.
That's kind of the movie I was expecting. And, I mean, honestly, after we establish her and Adam Driver, who plays Maurizio Gucci, after we establish their love, their union, they're married, then it just becomes just more kind of sprawling like an ensemble. And we're focusing a whole lot on the business dealings of the Guccis. And Gaga is absent for long stretches of this film. For like a whole midsection, she's kind of gone. She comes back towards the end. But the movie, it feels like its focus is all over the place.
I would have loved to see more turmoil. You get maybe two scenes of the marriage falling apart. You
know, yeah.
We got like
30 It just happens all of a sudden. I know. Like he's like, in love with someone else.
We got 30 minutes of them falling in love and meeting at a party and all
hanging
these
in a trailer.
Things. I mean, you know, you get all
You get like
of
a
that.
5 minute sex scene in the beginning of this.
And then you get maybe three scenes of the marriage falling apart.
She seems to genuinely love him in
she
this
does.
Film.
She does. Absolutely.
But like that description I just read, it makes her sound calculating and like a predator almost. But that's not really how she's portrayed in
no.
this film.
Her family's successful. Her family has a business, a trucking business. So it's not like she was from a girl from the other side of the tracks.
Right.
Her family had money. She knew what she wanted. She wanted somebody that had the money.
The
but
movie doesn't
it wasn't...
paint her as a gold digger.
No, and the thing is, like, in order for him to choose her and marry her, he gave up the Gucci world. And the parents took him in, got him a job as a truck driver on her lot, and, like, they were happiest at that time.
Yeah.
And then they get a call from the uncle, Al Pacino, asking them to kind of rejoin the family after they got married. And then it goes downhill from there.
Yeah, there's no tension. There's no dramatic tension established really at any point. And there's no real point of view because we just get...
We get everybody's point of view. Like there's not a...
Yeah, like one scene into another with no dramatic tension or dominating point of view.
And I would
it becomes a rough watch.
I would have liked a little bit more from Adam Driver.
Not his best performance.
No, it's really not.
An actor I usually like.
I know.
I would say the cast in general is all over the place. Yeah. Like everyone seems to be in a different movie. I would single out Gaga as giving the best performance.
She's got more of the memorable scenes, but they used all those scenes in the trailer.
Gaga, I thought, was a bright light in a pretty dark tunnel. And her scenes, she felt the most natural. I felt like she was... in a drama.
Yeah.
Like she's giving a dramatic performance. Jared Leto is doing a Super Mario audition. Al Pacino is, you know, Huron in the background.
He's just phoning it in.
Adam Driver is kind of like...
He's deadpan.
Fading into the background.
Yeah.
But Gaga like showed up ready to deliver like a fully dramatic performance. And she delivers it. I think the script lets her down because we don't get any insight into her character.
Yeah.
She's just doing things.
She's just a vindictive woman. She's a scorned
lover. She gets scorned. And that makes her go crazy. Okay, why? Give us a thread to follow. And the movie doesn't.
like, I would have loved to have her catch her husband with the other girl, the other lady. I would have loved to have that kind of scene and get that rage. I would have loved to see that, but that scene didn't exist.
It's not, I mean, maybe it did. Maybe it's on the cutting room floor. I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, this movie's 2.5 hours long. This needed more time in the editing room. This movie was not ready for consumption.
No, it really wasn't. I was so disappointed because I was looking forward to this.
Disappointment sets in pretty early in this film. As soon as we transition to Jared Leto's character and Al Pacino's characters and Lady Gaga kind of fades into the background, the movie just becomes dramatically less interesting.
You have Lady Gaga's character. She knows business. She loves the Gucci name. And so she's trying to get her husband to take more of an ownership in the company and to to care and to bring it into the next century. But the way that they went around doing this was they kicked the uncle out. Al Pacino's the uncle. Jared Leto is the cousin. And they both had shares of the business. And they cut them out. Adam Driver gets an investor for their 50%. And then the investor ends up cutting Adam Driver out, or tries to.
This eats up maybe 90 minutes of the movie.
But it's interesting in the sense that she pushed him to be the shrewd businessman. And he pushed her away because he thought that she was too shrewd and too mean and too vindictive and too cutthroat.
I'm not sure if the movie makes that thread clear.
Yeah, I don't even know why you.
That is a thread. That's a theme. I don't think the movie like fully develops that.
No, but that's interesting.
There's a lot here that should be ripe for a two-hour drama. And you need a solid script that has a clear point of view and a real take on the character.
I thought Selma Hayek's character was probably the worst.
Well, no one's worse than Jared Leto.
Well, yeah. So, Selma Hayek's character was
not great. I love Salma Hayek. I mean, she's having a good year.
She has had a great year. But I think her character is irrelevant.
She serves one core function, I guess, which we'll get into in spoilers.
Yeah, I mean,
she serves one, narrative function, I guess. But overall, you were not a fan.
No, I was not. My expectations were so high. I'm, thinking Oscar for Gaga. I'm going there. And now I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, just by this being directed by Ridley Scott, my expectations were very high. And so, yeah, that makes this one of the most disappointing movies of the year.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I don't know if it's the worst movie of the year. It's just,
no,
I mean, watching it was rough.
We've seen some pretty big doozies.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this is the worst movie of the year. I mean, the movie looks good.
It does look good.
It doesn't move well. There are no transitions. The editing is terrible, honestly. The editing is so weird and terrible.
Every 15 minutes, I was looking at my watch. I was like, was that only 15 minutes? Really?
That's what I'm saying. This needed more time in editing. We needed some way to transition these scenes in a more interesting way.
And her last movie was awesome.
You bet. Again, I think Gaga comes out of this okay.
Yeah.
I think she realized, hey, I'm in a Ridley Scott movie. I'm surrounded by all these Oscar winners. I really need to step up and deliver. And she took it seriously.
And I think she went full method. She was living in Italy for a while. She was talking she was trying to talk Italian.
I found this to be a very credible and captivating dramatic performance that she's giving. And there's just kind of a rawness to her screen energy that works.
And she looks good. She looks good in the movie.
I thought she looked great in the movie. Mm-hmm. And everyone else is just doing their own thing. And she's the only one who seems to understand what this movie's supposed to be.
Yeah. And then Adam Driver's position, after he leaves Patricia, then he has this midlife crisis in the sense that he's starting to spend so much money and charging it to the Gucci account, and the Gucci business was in the red, which is why the investors were kicking him out, because he was spending an obscene amount of money that he shouldn't have been spending.
We don't get any insight into his character. We don't know what his take on anything is, do we?
No.
Give us some point of view. Screenplay, please. I'm sitting here for 2.5 hours. What are these characters thinking?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into spoilers.
I mean,
there's really just one spoiler for House of Gucci. All right, we're back, and we're going to get into, I guess, the one spoiler of this film, which is Patricia, Gaga's character. She's so jilted by Adam Driver falling in love with another woman that she orders a hit out on him. And Salma Hayek helps her
arrange it with her cousins or people that she knows in a remote bar in the woods somewhere.
And I thought that was a decent scene. I thought Gaga was suitably unhinged in that scene. She seemed like a crazy wild woman who understood what she was doing. And they hire these two goons to pull off a hit against Adam Driver.
I guess I would have liked to see more of the 2 years that passed between the hit and then they were on trial. I would have liked to see a little bit more of, like, okay, what happened? Like, who ratted on who? Because that's obviously what happened.
Yeah, we don't get into that.
It's we don't get it.
The hit happens, and the hit is a really boring scene, just flatly staged, just not interesting. Like, there's no, again, there's no tension.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing building up to it. He's just walking upstairs. He gets shot a couple times, and then cut to another scene. It's just...
They're on trial.
It's baffling. I mean, this was directed by Ridley Scott. And yeah, that's a big climactic moment. And it just, it's played so flat and just like shrugging our shoulders. And yeah, so we get into, I guess, a couple court scenes and they all get arrested. They all do hard time.
This is based on a true story. This actually really did happen in real life.
I'm sure on some level they have to be cautious with dealing with
a name brand like Gucci.
Well, not just that, but also real people
yeah.
who in some cases are still alive. Yeah, I mean, there's a tricky line to walk, I guess, when you're dealing with true stories and portraying real people.
Yeah. Ultimately, it was their lawyer who ended up screwing all the Guccis out of the business and who ended up making Gucci successful.
I think that guy, it's Domenico De Sol, played by Jack Houston.
Yeah, he was a good character. I thought that was a good, I mean, good supporting I like
Jack
character.
Houston.
Yeah, but ultimately, like, he's the one that ends up making Gucci what it is today.
Yeah. There are no actual Guccis involved with
the
business.
There's no more Guccis involved in the business, which is sad, but, you know, a lot of drama in that family, apparently.
I guess that's one point that the movie makes, is that building this empire, as we know it today, this fashion brand, required kicking out everyone with the name Gucci
yep.
for it to work.
Yeah.
That's a point that the movie eventually gets to, and I guess that's the whole thesis of this movie.
The House of Gucci falls.
Sure. I wish it fell in more dramatic fashion and was told with a little bit more verve and style and tension. But
so how would you...
This is the movie we'll get. It's a shame. I want to say it's a shame. Ridley Scott is one of the few guys who can make a movie like this.
Yes.
Like a big budget, star ensemble, adult skewing film.
Of course, I probably would have liked Scorsese to really... do this because he understands
it would have had more zip.
It would have had more
sure
zip.
Sure would have had more zip.
But he understands the Italian culture, I think, a little bit more than Ridley Scott.
Apparently Ridley Scott bought the rights to this book years ago. I'm not sure why. That was another thing I got puzzled over. Like, why would Ridley Scott, a man who's 83 years old, why would he get his ass out of bed in a pandemic to make this movie? At 83, you've got Alien, you've got Blade Runner, you've got Gladiator under your belt. Like, what are you out to prove? When I see a movie like The Last Duel, that feels like a filmmaker who's still trying to prove something.
Yeah.
A filmmaker who is still pushing himself. I don't know what drew him to this material, because there is no passion
on
screen.
There really isn't any passion.
Other than Gaga. She's the only one who is bringing any passion to this project.
I will agree with you on that one 100%.
And so it's really puzzling why Ridley Scott would make this.
So how would you rate this movie?
I'll give it a C-.
I would give it a D.
Right. The only thing keeping it out of D territory is Lady Gaga, who I thought was really strong. I feel like her performance in this is as strong as it was in A Star is Born. A Star is Born is a much better, cohesive, involving film.
Well, and A Star is Born, I mean, has her actually like
singing. Yeah, but as far as a dramatic performance, I feel like this is on par with what she was doing in A Star is Born. And that movie got her an Oscar nomination. That's why I'm saying, like, this is a real shame, because adults don't get many movies like this in theaters. And so when you get like a movie like this playing at Thanksgiving, that could be a great draw for audiences, for adults to get out of their house, go see a movie. But the movie has to deliver. It can't be a 2.5-hour snooze.
It's not a good day movie. Nope.
In this movie, it starts off with 30 minutes of Gaga and Adam Driver fucking, and it still ends up not a good date movie. That is how bad it is.
Man, just disappointing.
So that's House of Gucci, directed by Ridley Scott. You can find more episodes at anchor.fm/moviedatenight, as well as on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, where you can rate and review. Don't forget to check out our feature film, Tiny Dancers, which is streaming right now on Prime Video. We're on Twitter at DN Movie Podcast, and you can also email us at datenightmoviepodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, I'm Patrick.
I'm Ashley.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.